diet culture and just holiday culture in general has really pushed that pattern on us. And then, bam, right as New Year hits, okay, you're fat. Okay, you feel like shit, right? So now let's go ahead and fix you. So let's do some extreme fitness challenge and stuff. And you're all motivated because you feel like crap because you just had more alcohol than you probably ever had all year. Or maybe you've just overeaten a ton of sweets and things that you don't normally do. Or you're not moving very much just because simply we don't move as much often when we live somewhere where it gets cold in the winter.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, rebels? All right, season 3 is shaping up to be honestly like a really badass season here for Rebel Wellness. I am really stoked as I've been mapping out all the conversations and interviews that we have lined up for you guys. So I hope that if this is the first time you are joining us here, that you are excited as I am, even though you have no idea probably what is going on. But if you are somebody who's been listening for a long time, I hope that, you know, you are looking forward to it as well, especially if you caught episode 100 from last week when we were just finally hitting our triple digits. And I'm so excited and also kind of, you know, just really surprised that to see triple digits. It seems like a lot. You know, that's a lot of talking. I wonder if I can AI and see how many minutes I have chatted at you guys having this podcast so far. But anyways, like I mentioned in episode 100, we are going to be focusing this season teaching you more skills to learn your individual body, not just, you know, the generic advice that you hear a lot. I want to give you a lot more custom advice, and I want to teach you how to better advocate for yourself with your health. You know, we are really living in a time where you have to advocate for yourself or else you're going to get kind of mid care. Like, it's going to be really low quality and sometimes just moderate. It's unfortunate. And I wish I could say it's not always the case. But I mean, I live in one of the places I've lived, you know, I lived in Portland, Oregon, and now I live in the Bay Area here in California right now. And, you know, even though we have some of the best doctors, because we're like the West Coast and we have some of the most innovative people, our quality of care is like really piss poor. And like, I don't mean that because I don't want to just like talk crap about conventional medicine, but because there's a lot of amazing things that it does for people for sure. But the amount of situations that I've heard from personal people in my circle, my clientele, and even just, you know, people I follow who live in California and stuff around me, and their parents dying from heart attacks because their doctor just wrote it off and said it was fine, even though they told them that he's showing symptoms and I'm concerned. And then they send him on his way and 2 hours later he has a heart attack and dies. And then there's like, that's an actual story that happened a week ago. And so many of my friends and clients getting written off by their practitioners, like that saying like, oh, you don't know what you're feeling. It's all in your head. You know, it's just because you're overweight, you know, all these different things. And so I'm sick of it and I'm done with it. So a lot more of season 3 is going to be focusing on how to teach you how to advocate for yourself from everything that I've learned working with thousands of clients over the last 10 years and learning your own body. Because honestly, we've taken away the really important innate understanding of how our body works, what different symptoms and signs mean. And they're all things that you don't need a medical degree to do and to understand, you know, like learning your cycle. I'm going to be redoing some of those episodes to help you guys better understand your cycle. You know, my first episodes are still great, but I would say that, you know, science is ever changing, and I've also evolved on how I understand how to deliver more on podcast a little more effectively. And so those are going to be things to look forward to in this season, as well as, you know, a lot more conversation around fertility. A lot of my circle right now is, you know, late 20s, early mid 30s, and they're just struggling with fertility. And again, there's so many things that are not mysterious and magical about fertility, and your doctors are really not pointing you in the right direction because, frankly, they were not well trained. Unless they're specifically a fertility doctor, they're not well trained on fertility either. But there's a lot of amazing people who are specialists in this and that I've learned from and what I've experienced in person or just hands-on with my clients who have been working on getting fertile and having healthy pregnancies. So I'm planning to share all of these good things with you guys this year throughout this season three. And I'm also, as always, going to be interviewing some more awesome leading professionals in the women's health scene. So stay tuned for all of that. But today's episode, I wanted to talk through a bit of where we often go wrong kind of in New Year's resolutions. I talked about this on episode one of Rebel Wellness, actually, but I'm going to kind of adjust it a little bit. It's not going to be quite the same, but I mean, the underlying tone is very similar. And it's probably one that you guys are seeing often on social media more now because a lot of people are kind of rejecting the whole New Year's resolutions thing where, you know, this is the year you change your life and you just got to do all these crazy things, eat carnivore and do HIIT and la la la, you know. I'm not about that. If you guys know me, you know that I am not that girl, but I will encourage you to find what works the best for your body and stuff. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more today as far as the New Year's resolutions in this New Year's energy, but I'm also going to give you some tangible strategies to make your intentions more actionable and achievable with less chaos and with less shame, because honestly, that's what really keeps a lot of us failing on some of these lofty New Year's goals is that we feel shame because we didn't achieve it. Or maybe you're doing dry January and then one weekend you buckled and had a margarita and then you feel shame that you couldn't uphold that goal you had for yourself. And then you just spiral into just drinking chaotically after that. There's a lot of really good strategies that you can do to help yourself move on from that kind of pattern. So I want to talk about that a little bit more today. But a little bonus towards the end of today's episode, I'm going to be giving you some awesome journal prompts that I personally will be journaling on myself before this month ends. And I really encourage you guys, if you've never journaled before, it's not overwhelming. It's not hard. It doesn't feel like writing an essay for school, you know, I mean, maybe for some people if you're still in school. But I will say that it is really important to get pen to paper or type it out on your computer and just really flow and think about all the different things that you kind of want from yourself or out of yourself so that you can kind of clear space inside and also just work through things. You know, sometimes it's hard just sitting in your thoughts, really sorting through stuff, but when you get it out on paper and you can look at it, it's almost like you can get a second perspective. And so I cannot promote journaling enough because it has been such a game changer in my life, all the way from gratitude journals to manifestation journals to just literally complaining about something journals. And I'm a big fan of also doing journals where you write letters to people that you're frustrated with or whatever that you never send. Do that all the time. It is so clearing of negative energy. So as you head into this new year ahead, 2025, we already are here. You really want to consider carving out at least 30 minutes to try some journaling, okay? But I do want to share some really big, exciting news that your girl is beginning her master's in clinical nutrition program literally the day that this episode airs. So in order to maintain the quality of episodes for you guys, I have decided to temporarily shift our episode launch schedule to every other week. Every other Monday is now the new frequency until I get my feet under myself again. So it's kind of one of those things where for the foreseeable future, it's going to be every other Monday, so two episodes a month, but there will be some bonus episodes thrown in here and there. And as we, you know, if I can find that I am totally okay getting every episode out every Monday again, I will just shift that back in. So stay tuned for all of that, but you'll see kind of that little frequency change here for at least a couple of months while I make sure that I can give my master's program my full attention and learning, because it's gonna be a lot all at once. Like, we're hitting the ground running with nutritional biochemistry. It's my first quarter. And I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't been in college for like 8 years. So getting my head straight back into science space is gonna be wild, but you know, I can do it and I love learning, so we're here for it. But I will say that I'm not going to overdo it. I have learned in my matured age of being an entrepreneur now for almost a decade that this next chapter for myself, you know, as I'm shifting out of my soft girl season, if you listened to any of the episodes in the latter half of last year, you heard me talk about shifting into my soft girl season, and I did a little semi-sabbatical in the winter to a fall into winter to kind of clear some space and really take care of myself and really figure out the direction I wanted to go. And that came out to be that I finally decided to apply for this nutrition program because it is exactly all of the curriculum I really want to learn better for you guys, for you and my clients and the business in general, because I just cannot stand people who don't know what they're talking about and have not put in the work to better understand what they're talking about. So I refuse to be one of those people. So I was like, you know what? Gotta walk the walk, gotta get these. It's not just about the credentials, it's about better understanding all these things to like a literal scientific depth, as well as the nuances, because there's a lot of new science, you know, and the program that I'm doing is amazing and up to date. And I love the energy around it all. And I've met my cohort, and so many of these women are all moving to clinical nutrition and they're sharing their backgrounds. And it's because they healed their chronic illnesses and their ailments through food. And so for a lot of people who don't understand the power of nutrition on their body, you know, it's one of those things where I love to see people literally so passionate about it because they saw how it changed their life that they want to change other people's life. And so that's something that I've always been passionate about since I was young, but I'm really excited to be learning and doing this program amongst other women who have also found this same exact passion through their own experiences. So I'm so excited about it, and I don't think I have actually talked about it yet here on the podcast platform, but if you see me kind of not as frequently active on either social media or the podcast because I am changing our schedule temporarily, that is why, okay? I'm doing the 2-year accelerated program, so your girl's gotta hustle and jam all this good information in her head so that I can, you know, get on with things in life and keep sharing and growing and teaching and all those good things. Before we get into this episode, I do want to invite you, come join our social media at Rebel Wellness Podcast and at Kaylee Loren on Instagram. You can find those links directly in our show notes. You can also join our one-time a month wellness newsletter. And, you know, all of our best resources and my top affiliate discounts and everything for you are going to be in the show notes. So make sure you check those out if you want to get some savings on a variety of things, or just know what companies I vet, because I only share companies that I do personally use and or do actually trust. So I'm not going to be one of those sellouts who is just, you know, that I would have so many weird things, guys, if I could share with you all of the constant emails I get from things trying to get me to be an affiliate. Like, I had Hawaiian Shave Ice sent me something recently, and I'm not going to jump into all of those little like things like Sugar Bear Hair and stuff, because, you know, it's just, it doesn't feel right to me. All that to say, check out the show notes for those things as well. All right, so let's dive into a little bit of New Year's energy. All right, so as you pop onto social media, you're probably going to be bombarded with a ton of eye-catching before and afters, catchy phrases, clever videos, videos with hot girls with bodies that you admire, all selling you the dream of 2025 is your year. Make this your year. New Year's resolutions. This is the time you change your life and change your body. Whatever it is, you're probably going to see it. And unfortunately, you're probably going to see it now that I said it out loud. Thank you, algorithm. But, you know, this is a time where I think a lot of us, you know, especially a lot of us that weren't born like 2 days ago, are all very aware that the culture of fad diets, extreme fitness challenges, overnight solutions, etc., that are all promoted around New Year are kind of a load of dog crap. More in the sense that they are kind of built on making you feel lesser than at a time where literally you're not. You are existing as you are at all times. And, you know, I'm going to get philosophical here for a second. Just because a new year has started doesn't mean that innately something is wrong with you. You know, one of the easiest things that you can do as somebody who has come out of the holiday season. I mean, holiday season, it's built on purpose, okay? So basically, when you go through post-Halloween, through the rest of the holidays, it's drink as much alcohol as you can or want or whatever, eat as much as you can or want, you know, capitalizing on all this less movement because it's colder outside. We all kind of just want to be cozy watching Netflix on the couch. We want to be ordering food in. You know, there's Christmas parties, what have you. People are making a bunch of sweets. We're overindulging. That's pretty common. I mean, animals always put on weight in the winter because it's not just hibernating, but it is just what we naturally do. However, diet culture and just holiday culture in general has really pushed that pattern on us. And then bam, right as New Year hits, okay, you're fat. Okay, you feel like shit, right? So now let's go ahead and fix you. So let's do some extreme fitness challenge and stuff. And you're all motivated because you feel like crap because you just had more alcohol than you probably ever had all year. Or maybe you just overeaten a ton of sweets and things that you don't normally do. Or you're not moving very much just because simply we don't move as much often when we live somewhere where it gets cold in the winter, if you're here in the US. And so all of these things are set up to make us feel like lesser than, right? But in reality, all you need to do again at the most baseline is try to get consistent movement. And again, if you could just walk 30 minutes every single day again, or if you've never done that before, maybe try doing that. Drinking water again, hydrating, because most of us are imbalanced with our electrolytes. So we've probably eaten too much sodium, too much simple sugars. We're holding on to a lot of water and we're dehydrated. So if you could get your water to minimum 75 ounces of water a day, again, if you're a female, all the way up to 100, 120, you know, a gallon is not necessary. A gallon is pretty necessary for male bodies, but I would say on average, the female body does really well at just 85 ounces. Okay. Drink more water again. Try to get your sleep back on track. Try to be more consistent again and try to eat fiber and higher quality protein again more consistently in every meal if you can, or at least two out of your three meals, or if you're a small meal person, at least four of your six or three of your five, you know, that kind of thing. Fiber meaning like at least a good full serving of some veggies, and you know, you can do some tubers that have good fiber, like your yams or your sweet potatoes, or even just regular potatoes have good fiber and stuff. Leave the skins on and try to up the fiber and up your good quality protein intake so that you can help balance your sugar back out. You know, protein is necessary for managing your blood sugar. If you've not been eating very much protein or being conscientious of it, I am totally guilty of this that last week, then just realign, get your protein back up, you know, 25 to 30 grams per meal. And that's going to get you back on track so much faster and feeling better so much faster than doing some crazy fad diet, okay? So it doesn't have to be that you are in some horrible state and the only way to fix it is joining this fitness challenge, or like, I just feel better because I'll be a part of this community and I'm paying this much money, so I'll be motivated by the fact that I'm investing in it and blah, blah, blah. Sure, but in my own experience, and even when I've ran challenges or helped manage them that other people have ran at gyms I've worked at or whatever, I would say maybe like 20% of people actually stay committed because of those reasons. Most people are kind of just running on that high of like this really exciting thing that could, you know, is promising these crazy changes, but then like you're not actually gonna commit to it and see it, because something extreme is never sustainable. And you guys hear me talk about this all the time. The only thing that is in common amongst all diets that work for people, whether it's carnivore, whether it's Orange Theory, or, you know, that's not a diet, but like all these crazy routines or specific routines, paleo, whatever, is that people find a way to adhere to it. So a lot of people say it's just because of the energy equation, but that could be true. However, our bodies desire consistency and they desire maintaining homeostasis. So that means they don't want wild change naturally. And they do the best with short, sustainable, or small sustainable changes that will last long term. So anything to do with these quick fix fad diets or fitness challenges and things like that is that they are too extreme. They are setting you up to fail, but they are making people wealthy off of your shame and excitement or whatever it is. Okay. So I highly recommend you, if you were about to join in on something or you just, you know, want to be a part of that excitement in that way, maybe try to find a different approach. Maybe try to find a good friend who wants to be held accountable for their own goal. Or maybe you have a shared goal, or maybe it's your partner and you guys want to commit to something to each other. And it doesn't need to be extreme, okay? Highly recommend you just look at small habits and then make those different. Okay. So we're going to start to shift into that conversation of kind of shifting that narrative. So I was kind of talking about that a lot more with the problem with quick fixes. And it's so important for you to kind of redefine what success looks like in your health journey. So a lot of people just want to lose weight, feel good, naked, all these different things, make their husband happy, make their partner happy, look like they did in high school. I hate that one, but that's so common. Because it's like, you don't want to look prepubescent again. Like, really? That's weird. And you should think about how you can picture success in a more wholesome and tangible way, like feeling better, having more energy, waking up and not dreading the day ahead. You know, thinking about your consistency and what it would feel like for you to dedicate to yourself again, to make yourself proud, you know, and all of those little things that kind of take the focus away from like the scale and your body and your measurements will naturally make those change. Promise. Okay. When you start to focus on how you can feel better through, you know, non-traditional goals like improving your sleep quality, removing social media time, building strength in your body, whether it's at home or at the gym or with a group class, getting rid of your brain fog or, you know, enhancing your mental clarity, finding some things that can help with that. You know, a lot of that looks like removing alcohol for a while or maybe doing a 7-day detox from caffeine. Surprisingly, like a lot of people think they get clarity from caffeine, and you can, but when you drink coffee too much and maybe your caffeine tolerance is up to like 300 milligrams a day, which is really easy. That's like a 16-ounce cup of coffee. They find that they lose that brain fog that was kind of lingering around, you know, especially if you're putting sugar in your coffee and stuff like that. So maybe you need to do a 7 to 14 day caffeine detox. You need to redo your relationship with food and clear out all of the sweets and junk that are in the house that have accumulated over the holidays. Setting that as a goal is like the quickest win, right? You can literally just set, I want to set a goal to take all of the food that is not nourishing to me out of the house by the end of this week. Or the end of the day, you know, and then you go and do it and you can check that box and you achieve that goal. I definitely recommend that you think about little goals and set more of those little goals, because they're going to be so much easier to achieve and you'll find yourself getting those dopamine hits that will help you feel more confident about moving forward with whatever your overarching goal is. And I think that the worst thing a lot of females tend to do that I've experienced is just hyper-focus on their body when it comes to, you know, New Year's goals. And sometimes that looks like weightlifting. Some people set weightlifting goals, but their main goal underneath it is to look differently and to look better or whatever that looks like to them. And that's okay. But at the same time, if that's all they're focusing on, but they're not focusing on the rest of the stuff, they're going to be missing the little wins, such as, you know, carrying their groceries on their own, not feeling tired when they go to the top of the stairs, all these things that are way more important, frankly, than looking a certain way. But we're a appearance-based society. We all are very concerned about how we look. You know, I'm not going to downplay that or say it ain't so. But I will say that it is going to be better for you in this new year, if you've never done it before, to try to focus on smaller things. If you can improve your sleep quality, you're going to improve everything else. You're going to reduce the amount of aging that you have. You're going to reduce your cardiovascular risk. You're going to reduce your brain fog. You're going to increase your clarity. You're going to increase your energy. You're going to increase how beautiful you actually look, because, you know, beauty sleep is a real thing. And so many other things in all of those different areas by simply improving your sleep quality. And how you can do that is by setting tighter boundaries around phone usage at night, TV usage at night. You know, blue light is the biggest part of all of those things. That's why those things matter. Your sleep hygiene, how much you hydrate. Are you taking some like beneficial supplements like magnesium glycinate at night? Or, you know, Just Ingredients has a really nice little sleep time cocktail thingy that you can mix together that's got several different good sleep quality ingredients and such. You know, I do personally like that one. I take that one for myself currently, because sometimes I do need, especially in my luteal phase, like a little bit of sleep help. And I love that one. And I like that brand in general because they are Just Ingredients. Like, they are what the name of the company is, which is great. I'm not affiliated with them, unfortunately, but I do recommend their products. But sleep quality is so important, and there's so many things that you can do with that. And, you know, for other people, if you could reduce your amount of time spent on social media, great. Reconnect with the world. Reconnect with nature. You know, get outside, go find some grass to put your feet in, to lay on the ground, to go to the beach. Like, for me personally, I like to get my feet in the sand out of the beach and kind of just gaze into the waves and have a moment where I'm like not connected to my phone, which is hard to do. It's so hard to just like break that habit and just become really mindful of how frequently you pick up your phone and for what. You know what I mean? If you're picking up your phone and it's not for like something that is super important, you know, sometimes that's a good check-in on knowing that you might be overdoing it a little bit with using your phone to fill in empty space. You know, a lot of people will use their phones nowadays to fill that space so they don't have to think about things that are bothering them, lingering on their mind, unresolved problems, you know, a variety of things. And it's not healthy because it's just prolonging those things existing in your body. We have to spend time with ourselves and in that silence. We have to kind of think about what voices are coming up right now. Like, what do we need to process and move on from that we're numbing with phones or television or whatever? But unfortunately, electronics, like, I love so many Jack Johnson songs in general, because he talks about how much we just, you know, numb ourselves and let the world consume us through technology and social media and all of that. And we really shouldn't, you know, we really should be making more space for life and real human contact and all that kind of stuff. And so something that could be good for you this year is making that a goal for 2025 and putting boundaries in place that support that, putting things in place like apps that limit your time on certain apps, maybe just actually deleting an app that you've been spending a lot of time on for the first time ever. You know, I wish there are people in my life that I wish would just get rid of TikTok, because TikTok's algorithm is meant to become obsessive for people with ADHD and or people with any sort of brain that is easily distracted by video after video after video, you know. But it could be, same could be said about anything that you can watch like that, like YouTube and stuff and Instagram. You can absolutely get stuck into spirals. But, you know, I am watching a lot of people's lives pass by them and their potential be stunted because of social media. And it's like, for what? For that funny video that you watched again that you claim is relaxing you, you know? Sure, but maybe make that a Friday night thing. Don't make that an every night thing. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to go on a soapbox here. But I want you to consider that for yourself and really explore it, because I know for me personally, I've found myself through this soft girl season sitting with those uncomfortable feelings of things that I needed to sort through and decide on and try to numb it with social media and try to ignore it, you know, and then being like, oh my God, I've been on my phone so much more than I usually am. Like, what's the deal? And then realizing like, ooh, this is exactly what everybody's been talking about. Like, when you're in the gap, they call it in the entrepreneurial world, You're going to be really trying to avoid the stuff that you don't want to face, but you got to face it. And if you are somebody who cares about progressing in life, you have to face the ugly sides of all things in your life, your own faults, your business's faults, your friends or your family's faults, like whatever it is, you got to face it so that you can move forward, or you're just going to be another person who's just on autopilot in life. And that's okay if that's what you want to do. But, you know, I have a feeling if you're listening to Rebel Wellness, you're trying to rebel against all of the norms. And that means that you are not down to just be on autopilot. So, and I am so glad if you're one of those people. Let me know if you're one of those people. Okay. So to kind of like wrap that up, you might want to take any of those actionable habits that I just shared, or, you know, brainstorm again, put pen to paper and think about where you can improve that isn't just focusing on changing your body or how many pounds you want to lose. Okay. Cause that's really, honestly, it's super vain in a weird way, like just hyper focusing every single year on pounds. I can't tell you how much it is really limiting to always be focusing on, I want to lose 20 pounds this year. I want to lose 5 pounds this year. I want to lose blah, blah, you know, and that's fine because if in the main goal is to be healthier, great. But pounds are pounds or whatever. They'll go away when you start focusing on the actionable things that help your body heal and move towards your healthiest body. Okay, which is mindful eating, incorporating movement that feels good, that you enjoy. You know, they did a study on movement and whether or not you were playing a sport like pickleball or on the treadmill, you burn the same amount of calories and it doesn't matter the difference in what activity you were doing, minus the fact that you are more enjoying pickleball, let's say. Maybe you're miserable on the treadmill. If you enjoy pickleball and it makes you happy, you're getting so many positive chemicals aside from just calorie burning, do that more. Okay. There's nothing wrong with doing for funsies things. And I definitely encourage you to think about doing more play in 2025. A lot of people forget, especially as adults, that it's okay to play. It's important to play, whether it's with your kids, with your partner, with your dog, whatever it is, find some more play in your life. Maybe you can do that through coloring in a coloring book or painting, literally just doing frivolous things that you enjoy. Do more of that this year. I highly, highly encourage you to consider it because it's a de-stressor and it's, you know, it's your birthright. You were not put here on earth to just pay bills, do the status quo, you know, whatever. I definitely do not subscribe to that. So I hope that you don't subscribe to that either and you think about adding some goals this year that involve some favorite hobbies or maybe new hobbies. You know what I mean? That is always good. But think about these mindful habits, changes, all these different things, and put them down on paper, like I was saying. Write them down, think about it, and maybe put them somewhere that you're always going to look at them to remind you so that you can kind of, you know, part of manifestation in a way is focusing on what you want. And that is how you energetically pull things that you want to you. And I can say for a fact that this definitely works. Every single time that I've had a very intentional year where I've quote unquote manifested things, I have gotten them. You know, like I got my dream car that I was always wanting, that I was always focusing on. Now I'm focusing on my next one, you know, because I'm already almost at 100,000 miles. And, you know, I always wanted to live by the beach. Somehow I ended up back here. It's really interesting, you know, there's a, not somehow, but you get my point. You can, where you focus, you flow. So you need to pay attention to what you really want as often as possible so you can flow towards it and that it can flow towards you. And so I highly recommend you focus more on those types of things this year than whether or not you're going to achieve this habit change or this drastic fitness challenge or some junk that you're following, okay? All right, so let's kind of go into a little bit of some of the things that you're going to face when it comes to making some of these changes. There's so much advice that I could give for navigating the social pressures around you, especially during a big life change. Like maybe you are feeling the energy of 2025 and you have been an alcoholic or something and you want to be sober for once, but your whole circle knows you as somebody who partakes in alcohol, or maybe they do, and it makes them uncomfortable that you stop. That's just an example. So you kind of have to really commit to yourself. And again, if you're writing things down, I would recommend you write down who you're afraid of disappointing or facing conflict from when it comes to making this change. And then you can strategize on how you're going to approach it. You know, sometimes you just end up with friends that are no longer a part of your life anymore. They're going to be no longer part of your life anymore. Friends, family, whatever. Because sometimes you have to keep moving forward and people aren't always meant to go with you. I always use this kind of analogy. Ever since I was little, I would kind of like to think of different metaphors for things. And my favorite metaphor, which I'm sure somebody else out there who's well known has said the same thing, but I always think about life as like a train, and you are the train. You are the only person walking through life on your own, no matter how you like it. You can't bring anybody with you forever, right? Besides yourself, because you exist in your body. People get on your train and they'll ride your train for a certain amount of time. There's a lot of times people overstay that time. And then there's times that people get off and then get back on. And you have to become comfortable with understanding that sometimes there's people that were a part of your life for a reason, but they're no longer supporting you or helping you keep moving forward. Maybe they're stalling your train. Maybe they're weighing your train down. Maybe they literally made your train break down and you're stuck. You know, a lot of times people with like bad relationships in their life, like especially partners, can be in that situation. Their train will not move forward until they get that person off their train. And so when you explore this year ahead, I definitely encourage you, when you're navigating social pressures, be very mindful of the judgment or the conversations or unsolicited advice that people are giving you that doesn't sit right. You don't ever have to take all the advice that you get from everybody you exist around. And you don't need to always be making sure that you please everybody that you're around, you know, especially your best friends, especially your parents, especially your partner at times, you know. Partner, I feel like, is a little different because your partner should be somebody that, you know, you both want the best for each other and you're supporting each other's growth, whether that's comfortable or not, you know, as long as it's obviously not abusive or something like that. But when it comes to other people in your life that are not your partner, it's okay to not please everyone, you know, and it's going to be hard because a lot of times people will become skeptical or judge, or they're always going to put their own perception into whatever it is that you decide to do. And that's not your responsibility. It's never your responsibility to manage that, you know. A lot of the times, you know, I've had a lot of clients and friends struggle with making choices that are the most supportive for what they truly want as individuals because of pressures from their parents, from their family, from their friends, and just social circles that they are around the most. And so they keep living not their best life, their most midlife, we'll call it, and not the middle part of your life. I mean, sometimes it is often in the middle of your life. That's when midlife crises are. But the most basic form of surviving but not thriving, because we live to other people's expectations and trying to make everybody happy. But people are always going to be as happy as their personal growth level has developed, if that makes sense. So a lot of times people are always going to be existing in their own space because they hold themselves back. We all hold ourselves back and we all self-sabotage. And so we're all going to be putting our experiences when trying to understand somebody else's experiences or choices. And so people are always going to do whatever is where they're at. And if they're not in a place willing to support you and understand why you're making these changes, that's not somebody that you should care so much about their opinion, okay? Doesn't matter what status they hold, if it's because they're your parents and you share blood and they raised you or whatever. None of those things. Your parents, this is something really great that our therapist has told us in the past. Your parents should never make you feel like you owe them something. That's a really big mood. And so if you're somebody who's been living your life based upon what your parents want for you or what they've, you know, pushed on you or any of those things, it is not your job to constantly just seek their approval and make them feel happy and make them feel like you're grateful that they raised you and all the things they did for you, because parents made their own individual choice to create you and raise you. that just by the sheer act of deciding to have a child, they decided to sign up for the rest of those 18 years of what it's going to take to raise a child. It's not some extra thing where now you're five, I might put you up for adoption unless you do what I tell you to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's not it. That's not part of the commitment or the situation in general. So if your parents are not supportive of you with things that you want to do to support your life or change, that's their own problem. And it's going to come with probably a lot of tumultuous situations. Even your friends, you know, I was just talking to my lash artist and she was saying that she thinks she needs to drop her entire friend circle because how she met them was just through like the bar scene. And it was when she was processing a divorce that was really tough. And she just wanted to kind of like numb and exist in the bar scene kind of thing where you're just joking around and you're drunk and all this stuff. But then she's realizing as she's trying to move out of those habits, they are not supportive of her. And they're actually talking down on her and patronizing her for these choices. So she was telling me like, I think I actually need to scrap that entire friend group. And I'm like, I'm here for it. It sucks. It's hard. But we always have to be okay with being by ourselves because at some point in life, we're always going to end up by ourselves again. And we have to figure out how to exist in life and be okay regardless. And that's really scary for a lot of people. But when it comes to navigating social pressures, especially when you're looking at changing your habits or, you know, improving your health journey or anything in life, because I mean, all problems are interpersonal problems. Everything, your weight, how you look, all these different things are most likely influenced by all the different interpersonal relationships you've had in your life or you do have in your life. And so this is a really important conversation that I wanted to have today so that you can understand that you need to just make the decisions and intentions that support you and where you want to be, not who you might disappoint or who you're afraid of losing because you have so much history or this or that. Like, I can't tell you how many of my friends or people I've known have hung on to toxic friends or family because of the history they have. It's like, so what? We can have history with anybody or with anything, you know? Like, there are face lotions in my pantry I've had since I was like 16 because they were expensive from Sephora and I don't use them. I have history with this lotion. I should probably just throw it out. And, you know, actually this last year I more so started to do that because I was like, this stuff is probably expired. Similar but different, but just another metaphor, you know, like if you have an old friend who's just like an old face lotion that you've had in your pantry for a long time, but you're not actually getting anything out of it, you might need to move on. Okay. And it'll be okay. You can just dose people too. You can see them when is emotionally good for you to see them. But if they start to not be supportive of you and whatever you're changing in your life, then see them less, you know? So people are always going to be in your life when they really want to be in your life. People are going to make the most effort for you when they care the most to be a part of your life. And same goes for you, you know, make the most effort towards the people that you want the most in your life. And that might be, you know, trying to find new people. And so you kind of have to start getting into the mind of like, where could those people that I want to be around be? Like maybe if you want to be healthier, more fit, or paying more attention to your wellness, you know, that is where gyms are great. You know, private gyms, small gyms, you know, you can join like a women's kickboxing gym or something like that if you want to be around women that are strong and have like motivated minds. You know, sometimes it's like even hiring a personal trainer because they can be your buddy who exemplifies that wellness side that you want to be around more. You know, all of those things are great. I know that that was me for a long time for a lot of my clients when I was training. And so those are all really great strategies that I highly recommend for you guys. So I hope that this conversation today really was insightful for you and that you can kind of sit back and think maybe you have to listen to that one again. But I hope that it does help you kind of break through thinking about the social pressures of making some big health or life changes in general, because you only get one life. You only get to make decisions that are either going to support you or hold you back or self-sabotage or whatever it is. And I hope that you make the decision that is one that you can look back on when you're at your deathbed and be proud of yourself that you did take that leap. All right. So to close out today's episode, I am going to give you some writing prompts that I promised you at the beginning of this episode that are going to be really good for you to kind of continue on from this conversation after, you know, the podcast ends, that I hope that you take some time to journal on them. So one of those things, you know, maybe actually I will kind of make you guys a little easy printout for these prompts if you're somebody who's more visual. So I will probably plan to do that. So check the show notes for a quick free downloadable, probably from my Stand store, so it's easy for you guys, of these writing prompts, okay? But I'm going to just say them out loud to you for now so that you can also hear them if you're somebody who is an audio learner. Okay, so the first one, define your personal mission statement or your values. So I always do an exercise when I used to run this women's wellness workshop when I was living up in Oregon, and it was the core values exercise. And you can honestly look this exercise up. There's a bunch of different versions of it online, but you really want to know your at least top five core values because it helps you orient towards like your purpose in life. Because if you're somebody who's just kind of been wishy-washy and you know a little bit about what you care the most about, but you can't put names to it or words, you definitely should do the core values exercise so that you can really isolate and understand who you are and what makes you tick, what is the most important thing to you at all times. And it's interesting because you'll find that you really can build a better life for yourself because you understand what matters the most to you and you make your decisions aligned with that, okay? So I highly recommend you figure out what your personal mission statement is. You know, like businesses have a mission statement, you should have a mission statement for yourself. But in tandem with that, try to write down your top five core values. And you can, again, Google a list of core values on Google. And it'll give you a bunch of different lists and pick one and then go through the lists and write down which ones stand out to you the most and then narrow it down to five, okay? So that's the easiest way to do that, which I definitely recommend. Okay, so the number two would be think about the goals that you set for 2024 and write down whether or not you accomplished them. And if you didn't accomplish it, write down why you didn't achieve it and just be as aware as possible as to what you didn't do very well, you know? And sometimes a lot of people like to avoid where they don't do well because it's like, it's just a thing that's natural for our ego. But, you know, let this be the year that you got really radically raw with yourself and, you know, just laid it out on the table. You know, mindfulness is observing your thoughts and decisions without judgment. So I highly recommend you practice mindfulness while you talk about your goals, because you not achieving your goals doesn't make you any less worthy, and it shouldn't be something that fills you with shame. And if it does, you know, write down why you feel like that is so you can kind of unpack all of that. And three would be write down the habits in each category of your life that you would really like to put in place for, you know, they could also be goals, but I like to call them habits because I want you to think about your goals a little differently this year. And write them down, think about, you know, how consistent you can implement those habits in your life and what it will look like when you achieve them or, you know, when you get consistent, you know, getting consistent with certain habits like walking 30 minutes a day, you know, if you do that for several months pretty consistently, you know, even if you miss a couple days, like that's success. You've achieved that one, you know, and you just keep it up as much as you can. And so write all those things down so that you can kind of define those milestones and put dates to it when you want to achieve those goals or establish those habits. Okay. Okay. So number four is my absolute favorite one. And you'll want to define who you want to become throughout this entire process, because who you become in the process of achieving those habits and goals is the ultimate win, because you should be envisioning a better or improved version of yourself through whatever you're choosing, you know? And so this one is a really important one so that you can kind of get, you know, it's adjacent, or maybe it just is a manifestation practice, because when you envision what you really want and who you want to be, you have a higher chance of achieving it and becoming that, okay? So I definitely recommend if you don't do any of those journal prompts, do the last one, do number four, so that you can really get clear on who you really want to become in 2025. because sometimes, you know, the worst thing we can do is stay the same all the time. And again, the changes don't have to be drastic or grandiose or any of those things. But if you are at least making improvements and moving towards a better version of yourself and a person that you can be proud of and confident in, that is going to be your biggest win yet. All right, Rebels, I hope that this episode was a really good way to start your new year and, you know, kind of take in all of this new year energy and put it to use, because it's a really special energy. And even though we don't have to do the whole big, crazy New Year's resolution game that a lot of people probably are going to partake in, I definitely encourage you to consider some of these sustainable wellness strategies and, you know, shifting those, the narrative to something that can support you so that 2025 can be a year that you look back on and are proud of, at least as far as self-development goes in your health journey. But if you have any wellness resolutions, or, you know, maybe even non-resolutions that you're trying to sustain some of your resolutions that you achieved last year, I would love to know. Share them with me. Send me a DM, or, you know, perhaps comment it on one of my posts if I share some posts regarding this conversation. But as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment. Walk with confidence. I'll catch you next week. In 2 weeks, on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast, or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren, or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can, like, dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do-it-yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live, so stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand-curated, not AI-generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself, and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So, all right, Rebel, until next episode.